station out of St. Louis, Issues, Etc. It's a talk show for thinking Christians, right, as their tagline says, along with all the other things you can find through our website. CTCR, Commission on Theology and Church Relations, we deal with, or they deal with theological topics, life topics, social topics all the time, put out documents to give support for our positions as Christians from the Scripture and from our theology. So lots of stuff available. We'll talk a little bit about that and do our study this morning. So let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise for the gift of life that you have enabled us to be here in this world, to be your creation, and to have faith and trust in Christ for eternal life. We pray, Lord, that you would help us always to appreciate this gift, to use it to the best of our ability, so that indeed we can bring glory to your name and bring more of your gospel to those who are in need. We pray that you would bless our time of study this day, that our hearts and minds would be filled by your Spirit and guided by his education, so we can have a greater appreciation for this gift you have given us and what we can do to help support it in our own area and our community. We thank you for all the promises that you give to us, that you are with us through all things, and we have the hope of eternal life in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
So this right now on the screen is lcms.org, and you see there /how-b-serve. I'm not going to write all that down, but the easier way to get to all that, if you go under the LCMS tab, social issues, you see all sorts of different topics that are there. If you go down to the life one, that will open up the page that has all sorts of different things regarding life, which is actually in that page. So that's
yeah, it does say about the patient that saw, you see,
come to have life and have it to the full, right? So that's the intent of Jesus coming to this world to give eternal life, to give us life to the full. We have life to the full now. Not yet, right? So we have sin removed from us and all the ailments and injuries and potential for death. That was not part of God's initial plan. But of course, a risk willing to do is willing to take with regard to the choice he gave to Adam and Eve, show obedience, to show true love to him. Of course, as they failed, that punishment for sin, the wage for sin is death, and now Christ has come to pay that price for us on the cross. So that penalty has been removed, and all who believe in him then are spared eternal death by God. So then take a look here at the reading, and then we'll, I'll need some people to look up Bible passages, so we kind of move through those quickly. You can see here, for question number one, somebody look up Psalm 95. Greg, thank you. Psalm 100, verse 3. For your holy name, thank you. Proverbs 14, 31, no. And Isaiah 29, 16.
Got it.
Dan, thank you. Okay, and we'll come to those in just a minute. What you have on the sheet and up on the screen. God reveals himself in the sacred scriptures as the living God.
Upside down, shall the potter be regarded as the clay that the thing made should say of its maker, he did not make me, or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding.
Very good. So first question, how does God here describe these persons?
He is our maker.
Speaks, right? His word, and where does it come from? don't, right? And if we can't understand it, we simply have to believe. And based on the last passage from Isaiah 9:29, why do we do that? We are the clay, right? We are the creation of God. We cannot understand the creator. Right? The clay pot does not ask the creator, the maker, the sculptor, hey, why did you do that? Why did you make me like that? Why can't I be this? It simply is what God, what the creator has made us to be. Okay? We can't understand the things of the creator now. So what are the implications of such a description for your own life? As I said, God is the creator.
Life is precious.
Okay. Life is precious. God will give that to us, right? Life comes from God. Okay. Yes, it's the life He is. Go.
Well, per the Isaiah passage, He's the boss, and we're not in a position to contradict Him, or at least not to get our way if we do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if He's the boss, then what are we supposed to do? Supposed to listen, follow Him, and not be out of line. Right? Reflection upon the title of Jesus as the Lord deserves more of our attention, more of that focus. What does it mean to have a Lord? Yeah.
Well, in a lot of these passages, it was also we are sheep, and He's the shepherd. So,
yeah.
You know, we all know sheep are not real smart animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to have, but we know the we know our shepherd too, so we need to listen to that shepherd's voice.
Yeah, I mean, as sheep, we don't know very well what we're supposed to do. Well, usually we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And we need a shepherd to guide us away from that. And as servants, you know, we are to obey. Lord, the Greek kurios is also a word for master. Right? We don't like to think of that in terms of slavery, but we are servants under the authority of Christ. We are always.
devil also uses, now I forgot the word, depression. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to live.
Yeah, it's tough, right? The result of sin and the world, brokenness, illness, I mean, you have a physical illness too. That's so bad, so painful, ongoing that you just don't want to live. And then that happens. We'll get to those points. And that's a tough thing. Where do you go from? Still back to scriptures, right? Where's the word of God? Even mentally, physically, you go through suffering. Suffering produces endurance, character, hope, right? So God allows these things to happen to us in the brokenness of the world, not because it is in joy, but to strengthen us in our faith and our trust. And that's the beauty of the gospel, where God remains the same to all of them, right? It applies to everyone in every situation. And so even though we think, I'm alone in this, nobody else is going through what I'm going through, God's word is still true.
Said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb."
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
All right. Good. So we're going to have this Bible teach that human life actually is. We support that with these passages.
The knitting together is right at conception, right? It starts.
Yeah, so knit me together in my mother's womb. Who's doing the knitting?
God.
God, right? So, right away, my mind comes to the hands that are knitting, right? Not actually doing that per se, but using that process that he's put in place of life formation, right? He's the one who's putting all this together. Okay. What else on that? How else can we use the passages to support the life? Life begins at conception.
Well, when Elizabeth, the baby jumped in her womb, and it had to be reeled in because Jesus was there, and that's what made him jump.
Good. Yeah, so it's a very fascinating account, right? That Luke recorded this as a physician, right? That he records his visit of Mary to Elizabeth, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb, she almost leaps for joy. She can feel that within her when Mary. What does Elizabeth call Mary? The mother of
And Mary stayed 3 months.
Right.
Until John was ready to get born, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's right. Oh, it's Pat, I remember this. John Baptist was born. How long was Mary stay?
And Mary remained for about 3 months and returned to her home.
Right. We don't know if she saw the birth of John or not. Could have very well been. Or if, yeah, we don't know for sure. But it's right around that time, 3 months, the Mary has been in her pregnancy now. Not very long.
Of the song is a little confusing to me, but I think I understand it. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book written, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them.
Okay.
So is that saying that before the world began, before there were days, that God knew that we would, who we would be? Because it says that we were written in the book of life before the world began.
Sure. Yeah, I think you can go both ways on this. Calling it for a meeting context would be the specific life of David himself. But before his life began at conception, David said, God, you were all under his days.
Okay. So before I had any days, you gave up.
I think, yeah, probably in line with it is that they both were the same. Him based. You can certainly apply it. God, of course, he knows everything that's going to happen. He's known it before he created it. Right? That's just who he is. He has that knowledge. He has that the cross time and space, right? He's all presence. Okay, so he's not limited or bound. Okay, so yeah, I mean, certainly you can apply it both ways, but specifically for a person. Prior to our conception, right? Before any of our days were, God knew what they were going to be. So there has to be a time when David, when our days began. Okay. So our soul has not always existed, but rather created at the same time our flesh is created. That fertilization takes place with everything. So truly, yeah, again, incredible. Good. Yeah, some will argue, I think, Christians utilize that passage again in support of abortion because of David's, or the way it's translated into English as the substance, right? You move my substance, and not being declared as a person, so to speak, but as, you know, once the fertilization takes place, they still call it blastocyst, the spirit of cells, and things like that. It's a substance, that is what some people are arguing. But so many are born without. The ones Gabriel say will be remarkable about John.
He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb.
Yeah, even in his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that possible?
Yes.
Secret place, and not all of us. So that's the beauty that's there, the implication of John confessing. That's the commandment for God in there. Good. Verses 21, 22, 25.
When men strive together in the break so that their children be not out, there is no harm. The one who hit her shall surely be caught, as a woman's husband shall impose on her. He shall pay as the judge determines. But if there is harm, then you shall pay for it. Fight for it. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, strike for strike.
Good. Romans 13.
For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. But you have no fear of the one who is in authority, then do what is good, and you will receive his approval.
Okay. And Deuteronomy 18.
This is the provision for the manslayer, who by fleeing there may save his life. If anyone kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in the past, as when someone goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down a tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live. Lest the avenger of blood in hot anger pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and strike him fatally. Though the man did not deserve to die, since he had not hated his neighbor in the past. Therefore, I command you, you shall set apart three cities, and if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land that he promised to give to your fathers, provided you are careful to keep all the commandments which I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, and by walking ever in his ways, then you shall add three other cities to these three, lest innocent blood be shed in your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and so the guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and attacks him and strikes him fatally so that he dies and he flees into one of these cities, then the elders of the city shall send and take him from there and hand him over to the avenger of blood so that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from Israel so that it may be well with you.
Good. Thank you. Going back to Exodus 20 real quick, quite a lot of verses in the Bible usually remembers murder rather than
Okay. Actually, I wish they would have put question two.
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll get into that.
Okay. From the studies I've taken over the years, it's a simple matter of mistranslation.
Okay.
As Colleen pointed out from her reading, both translations now say murder, but it's a question of intent. If you pull out on Mattis Avenue and have a car accident and somebody dies in it, I don't think you're going to go to hell. Because that's not what happened.
Right.
So it wasn't the intent.
Right.
So I think that says it all.
Okay. Yeah, so the difference between murdering somebody and killing somebody, murder by definition is planning it, intending it, right, to end their life. Killing can be
accidental.
Yeah, usually along accidental lines, right? What do you mean? You have an intent of harm, but not intended to actually kill them full out, right? So it could be anything from involuntary manslaughter up until loss of state there. But killing with the intent of harm or hurting with the intent of harm, that is killing. Okay. So that's the difference there. So why do modern versions of the Bible usually remember murder instead of kill then? Instead of the fifth commandment, you shall not kill, well, that would imply what? Kill kind of general. Okay.
Well, you would suggest, if it's just anything in general, then you should be a pacifist in all matters.
Okay.
And that's not exactly what the rest of Scripture says.
Okay. Yeah, so going to the third question, it looks like, right? Does the government possess the right to execute according to the Scripture? Execute and the life according to the Scripture. Okay, that's the few Christians living in Rome under the Roman Emperor. Okay, the government's not under the sword for nothing. Right? It has a job to do, and we as Christians should not be opposed to that. Okay, so yeah, the government can execute, but of course capital punishment. Okay, and life. Okay, if the government does that, when it declares war on another nation, okay, there's a just cause for war in that regard. Governments have that power.
Maybe that.